Please be seated. The final case for oral argument this morning is the estate of Wayne Kenneth Duchino, appellant, versus Douglas Duchino, appellee. For the appellant estate, we have Mr. Terry Pechota, an attorney from Rapid City, and Mr. Brad Schreiber, an attorney from Fear. For the appellee, Douglas Duchino, we have Mr. Casey Bridgman and Mr. Clay Anderson, attorneys from Lexington Springs. I understand, Mr. Pechota, you'll be presenting this morning. All right, and we're not quite there yet, though. Okay. Mr. Bridgman, you'll be presenting this morning. Yeah. All right. As you can see, there's only four of us up here. Justice Wilbert disqualified herself in this case, and so our practice is sometimes to go with four justices, and if we do have a tie, then we'll bring in a circuit judge at a later date to read the briefs, listen to the oral arguments, and that would be the tiebreaker. So, with that, now, Mr. Pechota, you get your 20 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor, Counsel. Members of the court, this is an intermediate appeal taken from a decision of Judge Brown sitting in Tripp County, South Dakota, dismissing this action because it was... Judge Brown believed that the state court lacked jurisdiction over a couple pieces of trust land that were located in Tripp County, South Dakota. As a bit of a background, this case involves the decedent Wayne Duchino. Basically, for a big picture, he was about 80 years old. He fell on May 11th, was taken to the hospital on May 18th. Put in a nursing home on May 25th. Subsequently, he died on November 18th of that year. Between that time, there were factions in the family. Doug Duchino and Don Daughters were two of the children of Wayne Duchino's. They were on one side, and my client was Dana Mercer and Darnell Swanson, and I think there was animosity in the family probably before that, but this didn't, the question about what should be done with their father sort of brought all that to the head. So on July 5th, Doug Duchino applied for a guardianship. My clients applied for a guardianship too, and on about July 7th, Darnell Daughters, and Doug Duchino took Wayne out of the nursing home against medical advice. Never consulted with the power of attorneys, who was the three ladies here, which would my clients and daughters. And from that time on, from July 7th to up until the time that he died, he was with Doug Duchino and daughters. Now, there was a hearing held on the guardianship matters on August 24th in Winter, South Dakota. And after that hearing, Judge Brown appointed Doug Duchino to be the guardian in that case. He also appointed a conservator and accountant there in Winter. After that hearing, Judge Brown found that the decedent owned three-quarters of the land, deeded land in Tripp County, and two-quarters of trust land in Tripp County. And he found that decedent had suffered from dementia and forgetfulness, and the confusion got worse over the years. At that hearing, guardianship hearing, Dr. Marks, Wayne's family physician, testified that he was legally incompetent to make decisions and his condition was permanent. She followed that June 15th opinion up with an opinion on July 1st. said that she believed someone needed to manage his financial affairs because of his dementia. Now, what we do know is that at this guardianship hearing, Mr. Ducheneau did not advise the court, did not tell anyone during that proceeding that, in fact, Wayne Ducheneau had transferred on July 1st a deed to 160 acres of land to him. And as a matter of fact, Judge Brown found that he still owned this land that we subsequently found out he did not own because he had transferred to Doug in this case. After this guardianship hearing, after Doug was awarded guardianship, then Doug and Don took Wayne to Pier, and he was seen by Dr. Plumage here because they were wondering how they were going to take care of him. And he was seen by Dr. Plumage on July 11th, and Dr. Plumage diagnosed him with senile dementia, and he had a mini mental status of 18. Dr. Plumage said he could not pass a competency test, and he went into the retirement home here in Pier about September 9th. And he was discharged in October a month later because they couldn't deal with him there, and he was taken to the nursing home in White River where he finally died. But we now know that on July 1st, Wayne had transferred the 160 acres of trust land, this is all in Tripp County, to Doug Ducheneau. On August 4th, while he was with Doug, not at that particular time, but he had on August 4th transferred 160 acres of deeded land in Tripp County to Doug, and then on August 19th he transferred another 160 acres of trust land. Now, there's no question about the jurisdiction of the court over the deeded land. The court has jurisdiction. And so the question comes down then. We maintained in the court that the circuit court before Judge Brown, after the death, that the court had jurisdiction to order Doug to transfer back to the estate the 160 acres of trust land, the two tracts of 160 acres of trust land. And we relied upon Conroy v. Conroy,
He doesn't own the land. The United States government owns the land in trust for him.
Right. He's the beneficiary. Wayne was the beneficiary when he transferred. If that was a valid transfer, then Doug's the beneficiary. And we're not saying, Judge, we're not saying that that the state court has any subject matter jurisdiction to transfer that trust land. They don't. Clearly they don't. But if you read Conroy is a case that says that it was an action out of tribal court. It was a divorce action involving two Indian people. The court awarded the wife there about half of the proceeds of the divorce. The guy wouldn't, involving trust land, the guy would not transfer it. And the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals and Judge Bogue of the lower court found that the courts had power to transfer, to order the transfer, because it had personal jurisdiction over the person that should make the transfer.
Does it make any difference that was a tribal court?
It doesn't make any difference. If you read that decision, they talk about the General Allotment Act, and they said, look, if the General Allotment Act doesn't say that it has to be a tribal court, it just has to be a court of competent jurisdiction. So in this case, you have to find that the court has jurisdiction over Doug Ducheneau. First of all, he instituted an action for guardianship. He lives over his father. In July, he lives in Tripp County. He owns deeded land in Tripp County. He's participated in the proceedings at all times, both in the guardianship and in the probate. Because while Once it was found out that these transfers had been made, the guardianship filed a lawsuit against Doug Ducheneau. Wayne died. That action was dismissed, and another action was filed then by the probate to bring that back into the estate.
Well, so in my younger days, when I was a practitioner up at Sisseton, I participated in some BIA hearings involving probates. Does the BIA, as a government agency, the federal government, have jurisdiction over this rather than this court?
Well, there was a probate in this case. There was a probate of other trust land that Doug owned. But the land had already been transferred in this case at the time that the probate was heard in the administrative. It's an administrative procedure. Well, and the land had already transferred, so the court said basically it's not part of our inventory.
Well, I mean, maybe I wasn't articulate enough in my question. Is there a mechanism within the Bureau of Indian Affairs to go in and challenge the transfer done by the Bureau under the argument that you're making to us today, that the testator or the person that signs the deed wasn't a sound mind?
I'm not aware of any process like that, Your Honor.
All right.
I'm not sure that there's any cases on that. You know,
well, can you go to federal court?
Huh?
Can you go to federal court to get it? Is that a remedy?
Well, they tried to do that in Motaz, and these were the cases that were discussed, I think, in Ducheneau. In the Ducheneau case, a different Ducheneau case up in Cheyenne River. That was a husband and wife divorce, and they tried to go into court, and the wife tried to get one half the proceeds because she was left out of the will in that case. And the court says, you know, we have the quiet title action. The United States, you know, waives sovereign immunity for certain particular actions, but it does not waive sovereign immunity for claims involving Indian land. So it's doubtful whether you could go into federal court either, well, you know, under this circumstance.
It would appear if he was named a guardian in a state court, the court clearly has personal jurisdiction over Mr. Ducheneau.
Right.
But in assuming they had the authority to, I guess I'm getting to the remedy. We could order him to do it, but how can we can't affect title to that land?
No, you cannot affect title, and we're not asking you to affect title. We're just saying, look, it makes sense to try this all in one venue. We're going to be litigating whether or not Wayne Ducheneau had the mental competence or was acting under the influence when he transferred the deeded land on August 4th when Wayne transferred it to his son. Now, it makes sense to try the one on July 1st and the one on August 19th. They're all out of the same facts. And to get to your question, Your Honor, if the court says, okay, we order you to transfer this back, you've got to make an application to the Bureau. And there's a procedure for that. You can make application to transfer. That's all the court can do. That's all you can do. We will take that. There's a statute in this case, 15670, which we know about, which allows the court to direct a party to compel a transfer. And if the court and if the person refuses to do so, the court can appoint someone to make the transfer. All we're asking is for an order to make the transfer back to the estate in this case. Then the bureau will consider this, and the bureau will look at whether or not the court that made this transfer had the jurisdiction over that person at the time.
What if the bureau says no? We're not going to transfer it.
Then that's the end of it. We'll appeal it, like they did in the Conroy case.
All right, you appeal it in federal court.
Yeah, we'll appeal in federal court. That's all we're, that's the, you know, South Dakota has jurisdiction over all persons within it. We're talking about Tripp County, South Dakota. That's the diminished portion of the Rosebud Indian Reservation of the Rosebud V. Kadine. I don't think that there's any question that, you know, under a couple cases I cited, the Weston case, it said that when an Indian person goes to state court and gets a judgment, you can't then, or ask for relief, you can't then complain later. And Goonwall says that if you're a participant in a proceeding, you're subject to the jurisdiction of the court. And we have 15670 that provides the authority of the court to require transfer. And then we have Conroy versus Conroy.
What about the Montana case in Wellman?
Montana?
No, the Wellman case in Supreme Court of Montana. They considered a closely related issue in the context of a divorce.
I can't respond. I don't believe that was cited in these cases here. I'm sorry, I can't. I'm not aware of that case, Your Honor. We're not asking the court to exercise any division of the property because the court wouldn't have any jurisdiction. We're just asking
But you are asking us to do indirectly what we can't do directly. We can't order a quiet. We can't quiet title on trust land and say it's going to be transferred. But you're saying that we can, if the son refuses to follow a circuit court order to transfer the land, we can appoint someone to transfer.
Yes.
So in effect, we can. We have the power then to transfer Indian trust land by simply appointing someone who we empower to do it.
But it's up to the Bureau then. It's up to the Bureau to determine whether or not they're going to follow that. And you're not dividing the property. You're just
makes it an advisory opinion then, doesn't it?
Well, no, I don't think it makes it an advisory opinion. I mean, you've made your ruling, and then the Bureau can determine whether or not, you know, the arguments of the other side as to whether or not that particular ruling or whether or not this particular request for transfer should be honored.
What would it say? What would this request say?
The request would say that Doug Ducheneau was ordered by the Circuit Court of Tripp County, South Dakota, to transfer 320 acres of trust land back to the estate, under the procedures and under the Code of Federal Regulations, and the Bureau would presumably look at whether or not the court had jurisdiction to do that a decision.
Would the Circuit Court say, Doug, you must apply for a change?
Would the Circuit Court, yes, the Circuit
would,
Court.
Would the order say, would the Circuit Court order say, Doug Ducheneau, you must apply for a change of title?
Would direct Doug Ducheneau to apply, make application to transfer.
Or would the order say, you should transfer, or BIA,
you shall make application to transfer. That's the key word.
Where would we draw the line? I mean, so suppose we're going to dispute about it. Who's the tribal president of a particular tribe? And someone comes to the circuit court and says, well, we want you to order President X to submit his resignation because he wasn't duly elected. So we sign an order like that, and then will you take the order to the tribal council and say, well, the Supreme
Court... You clearly don't have any jurisdiction over elections in Todd County.
Well, we don't have any jurisdiction over this land either. I mean,
you don't have any jurisdiction over the land, Judge, but you got jurisdiction over the person. He lives in Tripp County. He's participated in all these proceedings. There's no question about it.
Well, if the tribal president lives in Pierre, we would have jurisdiction over him. I realize we don't have any jurisdiction in that case.
Yeah.
I'm just asking where we draw the line.
Yeah.
what do we use to draw a line here about where we're stepping into tribal sovereignty?
Well, first of all, I think this, you know, I think this deals with transfer of property. You know, clearly, this case is a narrow case. I mean, it's not, you know, certainly it's not any bright line case for Indian jurisdiction for all times in the future. I mean, it's a very narrow case, as the Ducheneau case out of the other Ducheneau case made clear. And this court in O'Connell, O'Connell v. Ham, cited Conroy v. Conroy. In that particular case, they wanted to impose a trust on trust land in a probate proceeding in the circuit court, and the court says no, you can't do that. We don't have any jurisdiction over Indian land, Indian trust land, in you know on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. But it did cite, you know, not with any disapproval, Conroy v. Conroy. And Conroy v. Conroy, if you shepherdize that case, been cited a lot of times. It's not been, you know, it's not been overturned.
Well, Ducheneau didn't like it.
No, Ducheneau really said it was a Ducheneau said, look at this, what you're asking us to do in Ducheneau is different than what they did in Conroy. In Ducheneau, they were trying to actually divide the land. And the court says, you don't have any jurisdiction to divide the land. You know, it's held in trust. And in Conroy, it was a different case. They exercised personal jurisdiction over the person and required the transfer to be made.
Well, our own Constitution, Article 22, says that, and it's been in effect since 1889, we the people inhabiting the state of South Dakota do agree and declare that we forever disclaim all right and title to the unappropriated public lands lying within the boundary of South Dakota and to all lands lying within the limits and owned and held by any Indians or Indian tribes. Aren't you asking us to indirectly violate this prohibition?
No, I don't think you are. I don't think you're exercising jurisdiction over the land at all.
Well, is the difference, we aren't dealing with the land, is the difference you're talking about, just, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, I'm trying to understand. We are dealing with the actions of a guardianship and the transfer of guardianship property, so we're acting, you're asking us to deal with the actions of the guardianship, not the land, is that correct?
Well, it's a probate now. It was a guardianship first.
But it was his actions as a guardian that started this,
yes.
Whether they were proper or not.
Right. And then, look at the deeds.
You've already snuck about 3 more minutes out of this.
I was waiting for you to say that. I didn't know if I should bring it up or not. But anyway.
Why should you? Okay, Mr. Bridgman, you're up next.
Justices, counsel, might please the court. This case, this appeal does involve these two quarters, and this was hotly disputed at the trial court level with subject matter jurisdiction. The subject matter jurisdiction is clearly on the favor of the appellee, Doug Ducheneau. There's no doubt that the state court does not have subject matter jurisdiction in this case.
What subject matter jurisdiction to do what?
Okay.
Subject matter jurisdiction to do what?
Subject matter jurisdiction to affect title to Indian land.
But they're saying they don't want to affect title. They just want to make Doug Ducheneau apply.
They're accomplishing the same thing. They're affecting title by an end around. They're doing the same thing, affecting the Indians' sovereignty and their right to handle their own affairs by saying a state court can come in and direct Doug Ducheneau to request this change.
But Mr. Pachota says that it'll be up to the BIA, Department of Interior, to make the decision.
The way this was set up was Wayne Ducheneau came in and made a request to set up certain land in the tribal land exchange before the guardianship existed, and that Wayne Ducheneau came in and asked that the trust land, the beneficiary of that, be named as Doug Ducheneau. So the BIA is going to listen to what an Indian comes in and tells them that they want to do. If they come in and say, we want to change this title, the BIA is going to say, okay, if you want to change it, we'll change it.
Mr. Bridgman, the state court obviously has jurisdiction, subject matter jurisdiction, over the guardianship and over the probate, correct?
I'll agree that the state court has subject matter jurisdiction over the guardianship. I don't agree with the probate.
Well, has there been a probate filed?
There's been a probate filed with the Department of the Interior. And so this is one of the matters. This matter was taken before the proper forum, before the United States Department of the Interior Probate Division. And what was the determination of the United States Department of Interior? To determine the validity of the last will of Wayne Ducheneau, deceased Rosebud Sioux Indian, and to settle his trust and restricted property estate. Finding number two, by the Honorable Larry M. Donovan. Decedent died owning interest in trust or restricted property under the jurisdiction of the Secretary of the Interior. This matter, Judge Donovan went on to say, the Secretary of Interior has exclusive jurisdiction over trust or restricted land pursuant to 25 U.S.C. Section 372. Therefore, federal law, not state law, applies to the decedent's trust or restricted land.
But Judge Donovan made no finding or ruling on undue influence in the transfer of these two quarters.
He did not.
So it wasn't determined in the BIA probate.
The matter was submitted with a 2009 will. And in Mr. Wayne Ducheneau's will, he specifically mentioned the two quarters of trust land that he had.
And Judge Donovan found that wasn't in his estate any longer.
Found that that was not owned by him, that that was owned by the United States of America. And the Judge Donovan indicated that this was a final decision in regard to this matter. He also gave opportunity to appeal and for rehearing. In fact, the appellee, Doug Ducheneau, requested a rehearing on this. And the Office of Hearings and Appeals, the Probate Division, United States Department of the Interior, came down even stronger when Doug filed and said, this was to settle his trust and restricted property estate, which was settled under the jurisdiction of the Secretary of the Interior. And so that matter was decided by a court having competent jurisdiction, and that's one of the things I want to talk about a little bit more. The state court does not have jurisdiction. This was taken to the proper jurisdiction and a decision made. This is res judicata. You mentioned, Justice Zinter, that there wasn't a specific hearing on competency and things like that, or whether there was undue influence. But the court specifically found that that was not part of the estate and was clearly under the jurisdiction of the Secretary of the Interior. And if the appellant who took this matter to the Department of the Interior, if the appellant felt that that land should be included in the decedent's estate because there was undue influence or because there was because of incompetency, then they should have appealed that matter to say this should be part of the estate because he was not competent to do this. So again, this court's familiar with res judicata, but res judicata serves as a bar to further court action when there was a final judgment on the merits Clearly, there was a final judgment in this matter. The question decided in the former proceeding is the same as the one decided in the present action. The present action, we're trying to decide who has jurisdiction of this land. That's the purpose of this appeal, is to determine who has jurisdiction. The court clearly said the Department of Interior has jurisdiction. The parties to both actions are the same. The parties to the Department of the Interior, Office of Hearings and Appeals, the parties were the estate, same as the appellant. The parties were my client, the appellee. The parties were the other heirs, the daughters of Mr. Wayne Ducheneau, the decedent. There was full and fair opportunity to litigate the issues in the prior adjudication. The court submitted the fact that this was under the jurisdiction of the Department of the Interior, and they had the opportunity to say, no, it's not. This should be subject to the state court. This should be subject to tribal court. They had the right to say that, and they did not. So it became a final order. In this case, the appellant wants the court to state that personal jurisdiction is the end-all and the deciding factor in any case. And this court has dealt many times with Indian jurisdiction and the sovereignty of the tribe. And personal jurisdiction is not more important than subject matter jurisdiction. If this is the case, that personal jurisdiction is more important than subject matter jurisdiction of the land, then any case can be brought as long as we get personal jurisdiction of a defendant, we can affect tribal land. We would open that up. Justice Sabers, in several decisions, said the court should do more than pay lip service to tribal sovereignty. In this case, if we're going to grant state courts the power over Indians dealing with Indian land and be able to say to them, you have to transfer this Indian land, then what good is tribal sovereignty and what good is tribal self-government? It doesn't exist. We're telling them what to do.
Why shouldn't we follow Conroy?
Conroy was a limited set of facts dealing with, that was a case, two Indians in a divorce case. The Oglala Sioux tribe had very specific statutes dealing with divorces and handling divorces. And I think it was you, Justice Zinter, that mentioned, does it make any difference that was the tribal court? It makes a huge difference. In Conroy, it was the tribal court that had subject matter jurisdiction over the land, and I'll talk a little bit about that because there's a question about tribal court versus federal court. But in that case, in Conroy, the husband was ordered to transfer this property, about half of it, to his wife. But again, they were both Indians, and the tribal court had personal jurisdiction and also had subject matter jurisdiction over the tribal land. You can't extrapolate that to a state court and say, state court, you there's no way you can affect title to tribal land, well, but we're going to let you do it anyway.
But you know, when you read Ducheneau, Ducheneau pretty strongly tells us that under the Quiet Title Act, I think both the federal court and the tribal court don't have jurisdiction to affect a transfer of trust land. Isn't that what the court told us in Ducheneau?
Well, in Ducheneau, it was a little different set of circumstances because we were dealing with an Indian and a non-Indian spouse.
But they talked about the Quiet Title
Act. They did, absolutely. And the Quiet Title Act you know, you'd almost think that that would foreclose matters of dealing in any way with Indian land. Because under the Quiet Title Act, the United States government has sovereign immunity. They can't be sued. They can't be told what to do. So in Ducheneau, they basically said, district court, Conroy versus Fizzle or something like that, they said, you didn't even consider the Quiet Title Act. You didn't even look at that. And that, you had no jurisdiction to deal with this case because you didn't even look at the Quiet Title Act. So Ducheneau was again dealing with an Indian husband, non-Indian spouse, and the district court had told the husband that he had to transfer this property, similar to Conroy, and the Court of Appeals said, no, that's wrong. One, we're dealing with a different fact situation. We're dealing with an Indian and non-Indian. And two, Quiet Title Act, you didn't even consider that. You cannot affect title to land that's Indian land. Three, I think Ducheneau was important because the court also negated the decedent's will in that case and said, in equity, you should have to give part of your property to your non-Indian spouse. And the Court of Appeals said, that's ridiculous. You do not have to do that. You'd have no power to negate what an Indian wants to do. You know, we have some cases, and Mr. Pechota mentioned one of them, O'Connell versus Ham, 267 Northwest 2nd, 839, South Dakota, 1978. In that court, the circuit court dismissed the plaintiff's case for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. In that case, the parties involved were Indians. The cause of action involved the parties' interest in Indian trust lands. And the only thing that differentiates that case from this case was the fact that it was located within reservation boundaries. The court held that the application of state law in the O'Connell case would interfere with the reservation's right of self-government. And South Dakota courts do not have subject matter jurisdiction over the distribution of the Indian tribal lands involved in the dispute. The only distinction, again, was that in O'Connell, the land was located on the reservation. In our case, the trust land is located on the diminished reservation territory in Tripp County. However, it's still trust land, and it's still Indian country. Indian country, 18 U.S.C. 1151, includes all lands within the limits of any Indian reservation. That's what most of the time we're dealing with. All dependent Indian communities. And C, all Indian allotments, the Indian titles to which have not been extinguished. The deed to restricted Indian land of August 19, 2011 was an allotment originally to Emma Etta Tuteeth. So clearly, the fact that O'Connell dealt with reservation land and our case deals with tribal land off the reservation is a distinction without a difference. The tribal court still has control. In Reese versus Meeks, 585 Northwest 2nd, 875, South Dakota, 1998, it stands for the same proposition. It is common ground that Indian conduct occurring on trust allotments is beyond the state's jurisdiction. Instead, the proper concern of tribal or federal authorities. And that case cited Article 22, which declares, said Indian lands shall remain under the absolute jurisdiction and control of the Congress of the United States. I would note in O'Connell and Rissi, you could find personal jurisdiction in those cases. They had been served with the papers. They had participated in the lawsuits. In fact, in Rissi, this was a non-Indian suit against Indians resided within the boundaries of the Pine Ridge Reservation, but the land was tribal land, trust land, just like we're dealing with here, that was outside of the reservation and held in trust for the benefit of the tribe by the United States of America. And in that case, our court found that on the trespass of cattle onto the deeded land of the non-Indians, the state court had jurisdiction. On the land that was Indian land, where the trespassing animals came from, did not have jurisdiction because there was a question of punitive damages. And the court said, we don't have jurisdiction to handle that. We can handle the trespass onto the state land, but we can't deal with the Indian land, even though it's off the reservation. There's not a single case that's cited in all of this where the appellant, where a state court has taken jurisdiction over tribal lands held in trust by the United States of America. There's not a single case where a state court has stepped in and taken that authority over that tribal land. The Conroy case is the closest we have, and that's tribal court and federal court. And I'm agreeing that the proper forum for this matter is the tribal court, is the district court. Appeal to the district court. That's the proper forum. The proper forum has already been tried by the appellants in the hearing, the case before the United States Department of the Interior. So this matter has already been decided. The Wells versus Wells case is one case, is the only case I could find where a state court had told a had told the tribe or the government what to do with land. And that case was appealed by the husband. It was appealed to the Supreme Court on the very question of jurisdiction. But the appellant dropped the case. He did not proceed any further. If I remember right, he appeared pro se, and he just didn't go any further with it. So 14 years later, the husband comes in and is dealing with, well, you can't do this. And our Supreme Court, as you're aware, said, well, you know, you can always bring up the issue of jurisdiction, but in this case, res judicata trumps jurisdiction. So we are going to allow that case to proceed because you let it ride for 14 years. It was decided. You can't come in now and claim jurisdiction. So that's the only case where the state court told the tribal courts what to do.
Thank you, Thank you. Bridgman. Your time has expired. Mr. Pachota, you have 10 minutes, sir.
I won't take the whole 10 minutes, Your Honor. I'm going to make a few quick points. As to the administrative decision that they claim is res judicata, in the order it says, the property described by decedent in his will is not part of the inventory of property submitted by the agency subject to this jurisdiction. That's because the land had already been transferred to Doug Ducheneau. They didn't make any determination as to that.
Was there an argument made about that the transfer of that property was improper?
No, they wouldn't have jurisdiction. The administrative law judge doesn't have a jurisdiction to go back and claim property. He just has jurisdiction over what is submitted to him.
So no argument was made about he was not in non-compos or that it was improper?
No.
Nothing.
Okay. No.
Were you there?
That was the only issue was they had submitted during this time that they were transferring this property. They also had Wayne do four wills, if you can believe that. And they had submitted these wills to the judge, the administrative law judge. The administrative law judge says these weren't even properly executed, so we're not going to take into account. I'm going to follow the 2009 will where Wayne Duchesneau left his son out of the will. Doug Duchesneau took nothing under the 2009 will, and now he's got 320 acres of Indian Trust property.
Was your client a party to the BIA proceeding?
We appeared, yes. Yes, my clients appeared.
But you're saying that you had no opportunity to raise an undue influence
claim? No, because the court said at the hearing it didn't have any jurisdiction over any property that was not in the name of Wayne Duchesneau. And that's the rule. If you look at IBIA cases, they're going to Board of Indian Hearings and Appeals out of Washington. They'll say that the administrative law judge does not have a jurisdiction to go out and bring property back into the estate. The question about Indian, they raised the issue of whether or not. Indian tribal sovereignty is being adversely affected here. Indian tribal courts have no jurisdiction over Indian trust land, so there's no derogation of tribal sovereignty here. Thirdly, they talk about in talking about Conroy. Mr. Bridgman says that Conroy was a subject matter jurisdiction case. So Conroy wasn't a subject matter jurisdiction. It was clearly personal jurisdiction. The Conroy case didn't assume any jurisdiction over this land at all, and they made that quite clear. Your Honor, I think clearly the state court has jurisdiction, personal jurisdiction over Doug Duchesneau to require him to transfer or make application to the Bureau of Indian Affairs to transfer the land back to the state if it's found that Wayne Duchesneau did not have the mental competence or was acting under the undue influence of Doug Duchesneau, which will be determined at a trial shortly, probably.
Thank you, Mr. Picciotto. Court will be in recess.